May the words of my mouth and the meditations of all of our hearts be acceptable in your sight, O Lord, our strength and our Redeemer.
Amen.
Amen. Please be seated. At St. Mark's Episcopal Church in Waterville, Maine, there is a group known as the Martha Guild. The Martha Guild, at the time I was rector there, was made up of women, mostly 65 years and older, with several in their 80s. And they were known as a group that worked hard, an active group. They served as the reception committee. They set up and provided receptions for all of the funerals. They served as the primary cooks of the parish. They were often found in the parish kitchen, cooking and serving for parish and diocesan events. They were known in the diocese for their hospitality. And they spent a year, every year, working on beautiful handmade items that they would display beautifully on a table for the parish's annual Christmas fair and sell to raise money for the outreach ministries of the church. So I was the rector of St. Mark's from 2001 to 2008, and during that time, this passage from Luke's Gospel about Martha and her sister Mary came up at least twice. As you may imagine, I approached my sermon on this passage with a little trepidation. How do you preach to a Martha Guild about this passage? Very carefully. Because this story of Martha serving and working in the kitchen and Mary sitting in rapt attention at the feet of Jesus, listening to his teaching, the story has often been interpreted in a very simplistic way that pits sister against sister, action against contemplation, that pits the Marthas and the Marys of this world against one another. And it may be that some of us who are more at home with study and prayer than active service have even used this story at times to justify our preferences. So in this simplistic interpretation, Mary is right and Martha is wrong. Sitting at Jesus' feet is the one thing necessary, and working in the kitchen and serving is of a lesser value. But the story is really more complex. It is really a more nuanced story. So let's look at it again more closely. And first, let's look at the character of Martha herself. How many of you have ever felt like Martha? I imagine most of the moms in the room, and probably most of the dads, and many other people have probably had a day like this. You've been working really hard to put together a nice dinner or party, and the other people around you are not helping you one bit. Now, maybe you pride yourself on your dinner parties and your hospitality, and you secretly like taking all the credit. That may be. And you think, oh, that's okay, I can do this all by myself. But then there is so much to do, and you are running behind schedule, and even though you didn't really ask anyone to help you, they should know that you need help after all. And you find yourself getting more and more frustrated to the point where you blurt out something that you regret. That was Martha's day. So I think a lot of us, maybe most of us, have compassion for Martha. And if we look more closely at the story, we see that Jesus had enormous compassion for Martha. Martha, you see, was distracted. She was worried and anxious. She was out of kilter, off her game, as they say. She must have been worried that she was not going to get the dinner on the table in time. And so out of this worry and distraction, she attacks her sister's actions and tries to pull Jesus, who is the guest, into the middle of a family argument. "Lord, do you not care that my sister has left me to do all the work by myself? Tell her then to help me." What parent has not heard these words from their child? "It's not fair. Make her help me," or "make him help me." But Jesus speaks to her tenderly. He calls her by name and even says her name twice. "Martha, Martha, you are worried and distracted by many things. There is need of only one thing." Jesus is always telling us, do not fear. Do not be afraid. Do not worry about tomorrow. And to Martha, who is responsible, who works hard, but whose anxiety and frustration is now infecting her hospitality and probably making her miserable, to Martha, Jesus says, "Lay aside your worry and distraction. I am here with you. Remember what is most important." The one thing necessary is God, is Jesus himself. If Jesus is our one thing, the object of our devotion, then everything else falls into place. I have seen congregations, not in this diocese, but I have seen congregations that have outreach ministries which were grounded in the cult of a personality and not in Jesus. I have seen some congregations that have forgotten the reason for the good works they do, that have turned basically into social service organizations with no firm spiritual grounding. There is no joy in these places. They have forgotten their source of joy. Their frustration and anxiety continue to grow because they have lost sight of the one thing necessary for health and salvation. If we listen to Jesus first, then our activism will be grounded in contemplation. If our focus is on Jesus, then our actions will be grounded in our faith. If our focus is on Jesus, then our hospitality will not be anxious and frustrated. Instead, with Jesus as our focus, we can be empowered for ministry in the world that brings the joy of our faith into bold expression. Amen.
Amen.